By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work, and I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Kraftchick, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dateable Podcast, where we dig into the whys of people's behavior when it comes to modern dating, modern romance, modern relationships, and modern bullshit.
Which is perfectly aligned with the theme of this episode again is, you know, you probably heard last week's episode with Yue on don't take bullshit from fuckers. And then this week is my episode on there. So it definitely fits in with this theme of bullshit. That's for damn sure.
And if you haven't listened to their podcast yet, it's hosted by two comedians, Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway, who have a generation in between them, so they can share their different opinions and perspectives, but they also just offer so much humor. And this episode, they interviewed Julie. And of course, anytime you interview Julie, you have to talk about dick pics. I don't know why.
I kind of feel like that's you more, but I think the best is that Yue warned them that of the two of us, she's the raunchier one. Yet somehow this episode ended up being like way raunchier. Maybe I like felt like I needed to like step it up a notch or something.
It was a challenge.
I think it's funny that you like said that to them though.
Well, because I got a little dirty on their episode, and I was like, just so you guys know, Julie's not as dirty as I am, okay? So don't worry about it, because I felt like they were blushing at one point. Like, it's okay, guys.
Well, you were talking about Rockman's episode with pegging a bit, so I feel like yours went there, but mine turned into a convo on dick pics. And one of the things we talked about was I shared a story of a friend, no, I'm just kidding, it really was a friend, it wasn't me. But that got a dick pic on Thanksgiving. You'll hear the whole story, but there's a ruler involved. So of course, UA put up a poll, because one of the clips they gave us was about that. And I love that you put up a poll on Instagram about who has received a dick pic with a ruler. And I want to say that I feel like there was a disproportional yeses of members of our gay community. Did you notice that?
Oh, I didn't even look
into
that.
Yes, 100%. Like, of the people that said yes, there was a much bigger majority of gay listeners, which I mean, I guess isn't totally surprising.
Well, it's definitely that's very straightforward, right?
Yeah,
the size matters, and here it is. I'm going to show you.
Exactly. But yeah, good times. I'm glad that I could uphold that for you on this one.
It was such a funny conversation, because the way they format their podcast, it's segmented and each segment is about something topical. So as a guest, you don't really know what they're going to bring up, and you'll just have to just react to it. So whenever they brought up something, what was it they were talking about? No, you brought up dick pics, Julie.
Did right? I? Yes. I don't remember how it even came up, but I guess you'll all hear on the episode as we hear it.
I think Julie brought up the topic and they just rolled with it. But also, I just want to bring it back to something old school. Do you remember when we did a little short called The Dickerator? Okay.
Oh,
if you have
yes.
Not seen the decorator, it goes hand in hand with these dick pics because we are always wondering, like, if you're sending a dick pic, at least make it interesting. Next to a ruler does not make it interesting. In front of the piece of bread you're eating does not make it interesting. In your bathroom mirror does not make it interesting. What if you could dress it up with like a hat and sunglasses and give it different occupations? It could be a doctor, a lawyer, it could be a janitor. Your imagination can take your dick pics to a whole other level. So with the Dickerator app that we created, quote unquote,
it's not real. Sorry,
it's not real.
To burst
damn
everyone's
make
bubble.
It for us. The idea is you can dress up your dick pics, and we made an entire short. I'm calling it a short film, so we make it sound more artistic.
We totally need to like enter it into a film festival. It's definitely film festival worthy. Also, I want to just point out, so we did cast it with a bunch of people that have been on the podcast
yes.
before,
yes.
and one of our friends, Kiana, long term, one of UA and I's really close friends that have been a lot. She's been a guest multiple times. On the podcast. She's gone by fake names on some, real names on some. And she has been in acting school. And this was one of her debuts. And her mom saw this video and started taking her seriously as an actor because of this video. You didn't know that, Yui? She's going to be her manager now, all because of the Dickerator.
I did not know this story. You're telling me we launched Kiana's career?
Yeah, we did. Yui and I are changing lives, not just for dating. I mean, I'm assuming all the other people that were in the video also had major life moments because of it. Clearly.
I got a hand to Kiana. She did such an amazing job. She's like the infomercial host of this Dickerator product. She was so serious the entire time. She like kept her cool. Meanwhile, we're all giggling like little schoolgirls in the background.
Oh,
and I don't
God.
Know how she kept her cool the entire time. That was such a fun shoot.
That was. It was a very long shoot. I think I was unaware of how long those were. And I was like, damn. Because my house was the set also.
Yes. And we had five girls on Julie's bed at one time.
Oh boy, did I miss these convos. I just got back from Vermont from a very PG time with my brother, sister-in-law, and new niece that I have just met for the first time.
Yay.
So that was very nice, but we were not talking about dick pics, so it's nice to be back with you, UA, chatting away.
You miss these convos.
I missed it. You know, like sometimes you just like turn it on and off depending on who you're with, and sometimes I wonder, I'm like, is my personality more on this way than this way? And I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. It's just different people bring things out in me, you know, like depending on who you're with. It's like all rooted in your personality. Like I can turn on sweet side. I can turn on a little raunchy side, you know, like it depends on the situation a bit.
You're a chameleon. I just can't turn it off.
You're like, even if I was with my 6-month niece, I'd be talking about dick pics. Yeah.
Like, I'm like at church, just dick pics, you know, just like free the
Who
dick.
Who wants to get on that Dickerator app?
Nothing wrong with that. My mind is always in the gutter. There's nothing wrong with that. But okay, well, then we can talk about, first of all, your pics looked amazing. You had a great birthday.
Yes.
Okay, good.
It was a really nice birthday. I'm now officially so much wiser.
So much wiser.
38 years old, officially in my late 30s. We're going there.
Yeah, welcome.
Right, is it like the 30s? You're like prime? Isn't that what it is? Like late 30s?
That's what they said when we were 25, just to give you something to look forward to. But now they're going to say 40 is the new 20. So then that gives you something to look forward to. And once you turn 40 and I'll be in my 40s already, they'll be like 50 is the new 15.
I know. I feel like that is the truth because I remember I heard someone tell you about like how like the 40s were your like sexual prime. And I was like, wait, I thought the 30s were your sexual
30s.
Prime. I guess for women, it just keeps going. Like women are just on the upward trajectory and men are on the downward.
Damn.
If you're in a hetero relationship, how does that work out?
Okay, men, what is your contribution to society now? Let's talk about that. Oh. You're becoming obsolete, okay?
You always said it, not me.
You don't need to support us. You don't need to. We're constantly leveling up ourselves. Like, what is your contribution now?
An equal partner.
Well, they can't because men can't have children. And it you know, it will never be equal biologically. It'll never be
That's
equal.
True.
So this is a conversation we'll be having hopefully in season 13, because it's, you know, people are questioning this, right? What does equal partnership really mean? And is that something we should be striving for? But I'm always just staring at my partner thinking, what is your role here? Companionship, yes.
Companionship. I don't know. Yes. I would so much rather be the way it is now than back in the day when you were like reliant on someone for like financial means. Like, I would much rather have a partner that is just a friend at the core of it, like a friend that you're romantically attracted to. That's like your go-to person. Like, I would so much rather that than like a provider and all that shit.
That's technically a friends with benefit. That's what that would be.
A committed friends with benefits.
You can only be friends with benefits with each other.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's why, like, the word, I don't know, friends with benefits is a weird term to me. Because usually the people that you're friends with benefits with, you're not really friends with.
Right.
Like, I feel like when I've had friends with benefits, they're like people that, like, I like tried dating, it just wasn't there. So we just kept continuing. But I had one friend, like, it was a friend first that went into more. But I don't feel like that's like always the definition of who becomes your friends with benefits.
Also, don't you think it undermines your actual friends? Are they then your platonic friends are friends without benefits? Are there no benefits to any of your girlfriends now? Thanks.
I feel like it needs a new term. I don't like friends with benefits. Like, it's a fuck buddy. That's what it
fuck
is.
Fuck buddy.
Just call it what it is.
Yeah. So there are definitely other benefits to friendships.
Unless you were truly friends before, that's the only way it could be like a friends with benefits.
But then you won't be friends anymore. I don't know. That's just...
That's going to kill your friendship, basically.
Yeah, friendship killer. There we go. That's a new
friendship.
We're in a friendship killer relationship.
That sounds lovely when you're in it.
We murdered our friendship for this.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Better be worth it.
Better be worth it. Should we go back to talking about dick pics? Because I feel like it's related to our question and we might as well.
Yeah, of course. You always like any opportunity to get in there.
Steering it back, guys. Steering it back to dicks. Speaking of friends with benefits and to dicks. I just want to say dicks. Dick.
Can you only say it that way from now on?
How's your dick?
It sounds like you're saying like deck.
Like deck. Yeah, like patio.
Yeah.
Deck. I'm sure everyone's saying it that way now too. You can't get out of your head.
If it doesn't turn you on to hear it that way, I don't know what does.
Let me see your dad. Oh, baby, I like your dad.
Is that your dirty talk? I know. That's you in bedroom talk.
She's my boyfriend's like, this is why we don't do dirty talk.
He's like, yeah, that was a fantasy that I thought would be good, and then you did it in reality, and I'm done.
Yeah. He's always like, you like that? And I'm like, yeah, I love your dick. And he's like, get off. Get off now. This is over.
It's like, shh, let's play a new role-playing. Silence. Silence.
Inside voice. Inside voice. Let's do dirty talk, but you actually don't verbally.
You don't talk. You just don't talk. It's a silent game. Like, who could be the most silent? It's really hot.
More
be
silent.
Super silent.
The more silent, the dirtier it is. I am sweating. It's so hot right now. I'm so hot.
Okay, I am a little relieved to be back on the West Coast. I'm not going to lie. It's hot as fuck.
Is it really?
Summer.
Oh, I didn't
know.
Like humid
summer,
too.
Yeah. This is just too hot to handle. Thank God I wasn't having this convo back when I was on the East Coast.
Or you might have been.
Or when my brother and sister-in-law were in the other room. Although my sister-in-law is totally listening.
She'll probably
right now,
join.
So.
Yeah. I want to talk about deck. Did we get to our question?
That way.
This is the longest intro to a question ever.
It is. Okay, give it to us. What is it?
Our sex question from a few weeks ago was so popular. The one was, is sex better with socks on? That we decided to bring back another commonly Googled sex question, because when we are a sex podcast, quote unquote, we like to pretend we know all the sexual answers. So the question that is second most Googled about sex is, does size really matter? when it comes to
decks. Yue's been dying to do this question.
I love this question so much.
Okay, so what do you think?
I love this question so much because how can people know the answer? Vaginas are different. Decks are so different. You would have to crowdsource this information. Yes, size matters when it comes to the media. Every show, every movie will tell you size matters. But does it actually matter? I've seen a really big deck in my life and I did not want it in my vagina because I'm like, that thing is going to rip me apart.
So can we talk about for a second, this is a little bit of a tangent, but can we talk about Sex Life, that TV show on Netflix?
Oh my God. That is the biggest deck I've ever seen.
Might be a spoiler alert for anyone here, but this, you probably have seen the series already. It's a few weeks old at this point. It's shot to number one on Netflix.
Unless if you share an account with your parents. Please don't watch it.
Zero plot line or Zero. Enough plot that might have been able to like cover three episodes, not like 10. But in episode 3, there is the most massive dick ever. And I told Yue about it, and I remember you were like giving me live text updates when you were watching it, and you were like, you didn't even do this justice. It is freaking massive. I saw that thing. I don't think it's real. There's no way that's real.
It
went down to his fucking knees. Like, there's
flaccid.
No way.
Yes.
And also, I'm like, okay, to bring it back to the question, I feel like that would hurt. Like, that wouldn't even be enjoyable. But that being said, to your point, everybody is different. So maybe there is someone that really likes that. I think it's all about finding the right fit. And I also think, too, it depends on position. Different positions feel different, too. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that you're with and things aren't clicking for whatever reason, it might not be a lost cause. It might just be that you need to find the positions that work for your bodies.
Mm, yep. And for me personally, girth is a little bit more important than length because I enjoy more clitoral stimulus versus G-spot stimulation. So the entry of a penis is very important, and the girth does matter. But I've also heard from girlfriends and also Ricky Lake that it's not the size of the ocean, it's the motion of the ocean. You got to know how to work your dick.
There's so many factors. She just wanted to say it again. But I think it's just like, it's one of those things that it feels like there should be like a very cut and dry answer to this question, but there isn't one.
It's so hard.
So I feel like, and I think that's what makes sex advice really difficult too. I know we like to pretend like we have all the answers, but we don't. And I think part of it is that every body is so different. Yes. Like, you can do one thing to one person and you get a great reaction, and the same exact thing to someone else and it doesn't do anything. And it's not like you're bad or good or like, you know, whatever it is. It's just that you're the chemistry or the connection or whatever that you're with this person is different. And that's what makes it hard, because there's not like one formula that you follow.
There isn't a magical measurement of the magic penis that works for every woman or every man. This question does show is you should be asking your partner, how does this feel? Is this giving you pleasure? Should I do this again next time? For me, speed is also important. If you vary up your speed, sometimes fast, sometimes just a little bit slow and sensual, that is nice. And I will give you that feedback. But you should be asking your partner, does this feel good? Just because maybe you have a big dick doesn't mean you know how to use it, right?
I feel like sometimes people that do don't know how to use it because they just think that they don't have to like do anything.
Ding, ding, ding.
Like, here it is. It's like, you know, I also think sex doesn't have to be so serious either. Like, I just like laughing even during sex. Like, it doesn't need to be, I don't know, like when you see in Sex Life, for instance, like the scenes like they're kind of hot to watch, but they kind of feel a little unattainable, I think. Like, it's just not how sex operates.
So unattainable. They had sex on a subway track. How does that work? And also, I just kept thinking, like, are you going to pee after? I think peeing after sex is so important, so you can get UTIs. Where does she go pee? What's happening?
Also, like, sometimes these, like, really intricate things like that, like, they sound like a good idea in theory, and then they just, like, don't work. Like, you would have to get, like, the right angle 100%. Like, how would you do that, like, standing up? I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it would be that natural.
We should do a whole episode on this show, because I also thought that there was a little too much much fingering going on. I just like every scene he was fingering her.
But also, like, I don't know. Like, it's not. I feel like that's something you did in like eighth grade. Like, I'm not like opposed to it now, but I'm not like, oh my god, that's the main attraction. Like, why was that such a focal point?
In the beginning, it was like, oh, he's trying to warm her up. They go back to her place, and then he starts fingering her. I'm like, that's great. And then I was like fingering at the restaurant, and then fingering at the bar, and then fingering at the soccer game. Like fingering, I don't even know. Every scene had a fingering something that happened beforehand, and I just kept thinking, like, enough of the fingering. You also gotta, like, wash your fucking hands.
I guess, though, it's easier. Like, their whole thing was that they did things in, like, environments that weren't typical. So it's probably easier than just, like, whipping it out there, right?
Right. Well, when you have a dick that big, it's a little harder to conceal. You can't whip it out.
No. I don't know. When I Googled sex life, articles were like, was that real? That's what, like, all of them came up as. I'm still unsure. I just don't. That thing was massive. I've never even seen something in movies or TV like that before.
Massive. And it was flaccid. That's the thing. It wasn't even erect. Oh my god, I can't imagine how big that thing would be erect. An elephant.
I think
dong.
Bigger is always better is a myth. I think that is definitely a myth.
True. Yes, that's the point we're trying to bring home here.
Yes, exactly. After all that. I think, like, again, like, it's like, if you are super well endowed, it doesn't mean that, like, you're screwed either. Like, you can find someone that the fit is great with. But I think just because it is, like, it doesn't mean that you're just going to be, like, a stud in bed all the time.
Yeah, and you still got to try. I still remember this guy I dated in New York. Our foreplay was so hot and a huge dick. And whenever we try to have sex, it was the most boring, awful sex ever. He just like flopped around. Couldn't even get hard.
Yeah. Because you didn't have to try. He didn't it's have like to try really at all. Hot people that aren't funny or have no personality. It's the same difference.
And I was like,
you don't
dude,
have to develop it.
No, you can't get away with this shit. Take your dick elsewhere.
Or it can hurt. It can hurt also if it's too big, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not fun.
So. Anyways, don't be discouraged either direction. Your perfect fit is out there. I gotta keep it hopeful. I feel like that should be like an inspirational quote. Your perfect fit is out there.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Your perfect fit is out. Your perfect hole is out there.
I feel like that just made it raunchy.
No? Okay. All right. Sorry. Bring it back. Bring it back. What are we talking about?
You know, we are heading into this episode, so we're going to stop rambling about dick pics because we talk about them more and dicks in general. Any announcements that we have this week? I think for me, what's top of mind is, you know, the huge Join Love in the Time of Corona by the Dateable Podcast, our very poppin' Facebook group. We still need to come up with a new name soon because I think any COVID reminder may not be the way to go in the future. So we will be doing a poll one day to say, what name would you like to rename this group?
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of meetups are happening from the group. A lot of people are meeting in real life. There's a couple that are happening in the Philly area, DC area, I've heard of. Mm-hmm. So we are still a couple months or getting closer to the San Francisco meetup. We got some people flying in from all over the country.
Yep.
I don't think Canada yet because of borders, but the U.S. in general.
Yep.
And they want to just go to the birthplace of where Dateable started. I think we should give them a little tour guide when they come. Golden Gate Bridge, maybe that bar where we first, you know, decided to do Dateable.
Which bar was it? I don't even remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Oh my God, UA. It was, well, it's a different place now. It doesn't exist anymore, which is sad. It was called Optimista on Union Street.
I really
And is
don't
now
remember.
A restaurant. Well, we were a few drinks in, but I remember because I have a memory of golds for you. So we could bring people by UA's old apartment. Our
That's
recording
not creepy
studio.
At all.
We still have a friend, Courtney Kay, that lives there, so she could let us in and we could all go to apartment 1207 and just stand there. That would be creepy.
That'd be really creepy. But I know nobody lives there, so we can just break in. I still have keys. So we're good. We can definitely get in. If our listeners have any requests from the previous episodes you've listened to where we mention a landmark in San Francisco, let us know and then we'll put it on our tour list.
We totally should make like a Airbnb tour guide. You know, like you could do like Airbnb experiences.
Oh my God. gosh, the dateable experience. That's great. That's a good idea. Put it on the list. Okay,
let's get into some sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We at Dateable are huge fans of therapy, and BetterHelp can match you with your own licensed therapist and connect you in a safe and private online environment. Me, for example, I was able to start communicating with my therapist in less than 48 hours. It was so quick. Now, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. Their licensed professionals specialize in everything from dating trauma, stress, anxiety, trauma with a big T, depression, grief, you name it, they have someone who's an expert in that. We at Dateable wish for all of you to live a happy, healthy life. And that's why as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/dateable. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, spelled HELP.com/DATEABLE.
We know that when it comes to beauty products, there are so many options, but we're going to make the choice really simple for you. Thrive Cosmetics is a line of high-performance, award-winning products that are made with clean, high-performance, skin-loving ingredients. All of their products are formulated without parabens, sulfates, and phthalates. I am completely obsessed with the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I used to have lash extensions, as some of you remember, and gave that up during quarantine, but now I don't even need them because this mascara is like magic. It's completely flake-free, smudge-free, and clump-free and makes my lashes look so long. And I have oily eyes, so this is the first mascara I've found that doesn't smudge. Also, as part of their Bigger Than Beauty mission, for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics will support nonprofit partners with a donation of funds or products. I am truly inspired by how this is a beauty brand that goes beyond being skin deep. We know you'll fall in love with them too, so that's why we're giving you a special offer. Just go to thrivecosmetics.com/dateable for 15% off your first purchase. This is an exclusive offer you can only get here. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/DATEABLE for 15% off. Thrivecosmetics.com/dateable.
Okay, so shall we get into Dix picks and all the good stuff with Kane and Greg?
Dix.
You're listening to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers with your hosts Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway.
So
is that how you, are you going to start the show off with an
Let me try again then. Can I try again?
No.
Let me try again.
No.
Take
I'm
gonna two.
Go with you. I'm going to go with your instincts.
Asshole.
I'm going to go with your broadcasting, with your broadcasting instincts. Welcome. Don't take bullshit from fuckers.
This is my last episode. How about that?
No.
We have a guest today in the studio. I'm Kane Holloway. That's It's Gregor's. We got producer Pat and Caesar Salad the dog chilling right now. And then we have from the Dateable podcast, Julie Kraftchick. Am I pronouncing that right?
You are. You got it 100% right. I'm so glad to be here with you both.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. And do you watch The Bachelorette at all?
You know, I am not. I think I'm like maybe one of the lone women out there that does not watch The Bachelorette. Oh. We had actually one of the guys from The Bachelorette on our podcast, Venmo John. Have you heard of him at all?
No.
So he was from like a few seasons back. He was also in Bachelor in Paradise. And he used to work at Venmo, which was his nickname on the show.
Oh, we love. First off, we love Venmo.
Exactly. So he was apparently the most eligible male on The Bachelorette ever, just because of like his life outside of The Bachelorette. That was a fun fact I learned when we talked to him. But we had all these people, all of our listeners, we kind of like shared that we were going to have him and everyone thought it was a huge deal. So we had a few people come to our studio to meet him and they were all going like wild. And I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. No idea.
Neither of my daughters or my wife, they wouldn't be caught dead watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Do you both watch it?
Yes. Kane and I both watch it, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, Kane and I both watch it. Kane got me started on it.
I did.
What's even going on right now? Like, I have no clue. I'm so out of it with this show.
They have new hosts, and they have a new girl, and this has been two episodes? And she's sex positive. She's so much more interesting than The Bachelor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's absolutely fun to watch. She's fun to watch. She's good TV.
Nice. She's cried most of last episode.
Yeah, she did.
And then she made her date cry, and I was working out while watching it, and all of a sudden a big mud wrestling fight broke out as a group date. And I don't understand why so many, almost every season, they pit the men and women against each other in some sort of battle royale. And then every time it's like, oh shit, they have like this clip where they're like, did they just get hurt? Oh no. And like, there's like this big to do about it. And then later on, it's absolutely meaningless. A lot like the show in general.
But the men have to wrestle shirtless.
With cowboy hats on.
They're always reduced to just short pants. And it shows you exactly, like, not one of those guys is afraid to take their shirt off. Mm-mm. There's a large swath of the male population that's not being honored in this show. There's never like a there's never a fat guy that's like, I'll just keep my shirt on.
That's when you know you're in a happy, healthy relationship, when there's crying and mud wrestling. That's the only two things you need. You're all good.
That's so true.
They need that on the Great British Bake Off, and then I'll be set. That's my second favorite reality show. You do Dateable. We had on Yue Xu. I think her episode came out last week, and she was a blast. That was a lot of fun. And your guys' show, you guys have a great dynamic. It's really an interesting listen.
Thank you. Always like to hear that. So really appreciate it.
When did you guys, I don't know if we asked her this beforehand, but like, when did you guys get started?
You know, it started like all good things start. We were just like at a bar and we're like, let's do a dating podcast. This was in 2016. Mm-hmm. We had no idea really what podcasts even were. We're just like, let's record with our friends. I think we were both kind of like in interesting personal situations. Like, she was brand new to San Francisco where we were both based. She's now in LA where mm-hmm. you are, Kane. And she was new to the city, was just utterly confused by what was going on here. And I had been here for like 10 years and I was like in and out of a serious relationship. So I think when we both met, we just were like, okay, we need to figure out what the hell is going on with modern dating. And that kind of just spiraled it all.
That's great. I also love how you brought up that you had a bachelor. This could not have worked out better. You had a bachelor contestant and his name was Venmo. What was it? Venmo what?
Venmo John. Yeah.
Venmo John. Greg, should we call you Venmo Greg?
I mean, you can. That's my social media platform of choice. I will only friend you on Venmo.
Yeah. I was listening to one of your episodes where you were going off about Venmo. That is like the unseen social media network to really get like that clout. I love it.
I was on Waze for a while and I just wasn't getting the traction I wanted. I really like Waze. It's a great app. You can say hi to other people that are driving at the same time you are.
Mm-hmm.
How many friends do you have on Venmo, Greg?
Oh, hundreds.
Do you? I'm going to check how many I have because I feel like
I don't know that it's hundreds. But
I just learned this the other day. I had no idea that I had any friends on Venmo. And I think it automatically connects to your like contact list or something.
Yeah, it does.
I have 107 friends on Venmo. I pay like three people at a time. Why do I have 107 friends?
I have like five something, which I have no idea where they came from. 487, so almost at 500.
You almost have 500? What the shit?
That's incredible.
Greg, how many do you have? Pat, do you know how many you have on Venmo?
I do. Two. I keep it tight.
Is it Greg and Kane? The two of them.
It is us, isn't it? It is us.
It's not Greg. Greg's not the other one.
Oh my God.
Have you heard of the Venmo scams that people do? Have you heard about this? That like someone will offer to take a photo of you. So next time like you get an overzealous like person that wants to take a photo, be wary. Because what they'll do is they'll take a picture and they'll Venmo themselves like $10,000 from your account. There's like a thing.
Whoa, what? Really?
Wait,
like,
what is
that? How would you even do that? That's like mind-boggling, right? Yeah, so they'll pretend to take a photo, and while they're doing the photo, they'll actually be on your Venmo, Venmoing themselves money off your account.
Wow. Oh my God. We got a question in at dtbffpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send in your questions to a dtbffpodcast on Instagram. And we got one in from Anonymous. She's always writing in, Anonymous. That son of a gun. She goes, I feel like I'm emotionally cheating. Please keep me anonymous. Mm-hmm. Also, could Pat read this one in his voice? It's the best. Oh, I guess they want you to read this, Pat.
First, I am a big fan of the podcast, and I love hearing you guys riff about serious shit. You really make it feel like tackling heavy bullshit can be manageable. With that said, help. I've been married 3 years, and I love my man very much, and we have a great relationship. We still laugh and have fun and have sex. Not as much as we used to. We recently went 3 weeks not having sex, which is weird for us, because usually we have sex a couple times a week. I noticed that my urge to not have sex with my husband came after I went back to work and started having a work flirtation with a coworker. He's really handsome, funny, and we like a lot of the same things. We started taking breaks together, getting lunch together, and we are really touchy, to the point where we started hugging when we see each other and I get really excited to go to work, completely forgetting COVID rules altogether because it feels good to be touched by him. I still love my husband. He's still really attentive and I am attracted to him. And I don't think I would ever cheat on him, but this coworker issue feels like a problem. What do I do? Keep up the good work. Love the podcast. I've been in the cult from the beginning. Love, Anonymous.
It almost seems like it is cheating.
Yeah, kind of, right?
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
He's headed there.
There's a lot of intimacy in that.
Yeah, there's a lot of intimacy.
Touching. The emotional cheating is almost worse, in my opinion.
Is it?
Yeah, I think because I feel like when feelings are involved, I think that's what would upset me more than just physical.
Yeah, like yes. They're the excited to see him. I want to go to work. I'm excited to be away from my house because it's so I'm used to it. It's familiar, so I'm gonna go somewhere where it's like new and exciting.
She needs to bring the excitement back into her marriage. That's my opinion. Like. Yeah. It sounds like the way she described her husband to the way she described this work guy was like drastically different in terms of excitement, which if I was her husband, I probably wouldn't be thrilled about. So I feel like, I don't know, I think, I mean, 3 years, like it sounds like they're in a little bit of a drought with sex and stuff. So maybe they just need to like step it up a notch. I know a lot of couples have been dealing with this with COVID. Sometimes you're just, you know, in pajamas all the time and it's not like the most sexy vibes going down. So maybe they just need to get out of the rut a little and see if they can bring the magic back.
I think maybe go on a vacation, just like step away from work, like plan a vacation with your husband, see if your husband's like excited to go out with you and just be the two of you together, find that spark again, get away from the guy, get away from work, get away from the whole thing. Like the sex isn't dying in their relationship completely. It's still there. It's just that she's kind of attracted to that other guy.
Yeah, it depends on how attracted she is to that guy.
She should probably quit.
She should probably
just
quit her job.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Always be blocking is across the board. Quit your job.
Quit your job.
Stop talking to that guy.
I think she should cool it with the guy at work.
Yeah.
I think she should be the bigger man and go, look, I'm married. We got to stop with all the touching and the breaking of the COVID rules and all that, and just be smarter about it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, where does she work? I feel like touching isn't a necessity at work ever.
No, absolutely not.
Although I did go to a restaurant the other week and one of my friends I was with that was there walked into the bathroom and there were two waitresses just like going at it in the bathroom stall. So, you know, sometimes there's some pent up energy at work, I guess.
What if that's Anonymous and we were too late to answer this email?
Yeah, that's her.
Wow.
Shit.
She's like, things are already bad with my husband. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's bold to do that at the restaurant when you're a waitress.
Isn't
when you're
it?
A couple of waitresses.
And there were stalls. I was like, why didn't they just go in the stall? Like, why were they like in the open bathroom? Like, it could have been so much easier.
They wanted to get caught.
Probably.
They're being unclean, right, Greg? Unclean.
Unclean.
A lot of COVID pent up energy going on right now.
Yeah, for sure. Everything we said was good. I think try out those things, tell that guy to stop it. bring a spray bottle to work. And when he comes up for a hug, you right in the face, right in the eyes, aim for the eyes.
Sounds like the best technique.
Yeah, but really kind of cool it. Try and be the bigger person.
Absolutely.
Hey everyone, are you sick of taking bullshit from fuckers and want direct help from Kane or myself? We hold a bi-monthly workshop on Zoom for people who not only want to stop taking bullshit from fuckers, but want to recognize fuckers before they even smell the bullshit. We've helped many people from our workshops. Previous attendees have said, "I'm so happy this event was an honest and genuine event led by amazing people." Kane and I would be the amazing people in that sentence. I got so much more out of this than I ever could have imagined. So go to donttakebullshitfromfuckers.bigcartel.com to secure your seat and stop taking bullshit from fuckers. You can also find this link in the show's description.
Julie, you have the option of picking. We have three different versions of the theme song. We have the original version, the kids show version, and we have the death metal version, two of them made by Pat.
I don't even know. These are so many good options. I'm going to go death metal version.
That poster of the cat hanging from a tree, and it says, "Hang in there, baby, your Mondays am I right? Mondays am I right?" So if you can think of a different title, then we'll probably change it.
What'd you think of that, Julie?
I loved every second of it. Now I want to hear all three versions.
I love we have options. We have some sent in to us from Smokey Creepin. He sent one in that says, "I've been driving a Subaru for almost a month now. Is someone supposed to send me my Coexist bumper sticker, or does it just grow on there? I don't get it."
Well, I think it means that liberals drive Subarus.
Oh, I hate it.
I was like, am I missing something here? I just thought I didn't get it either.
I hated it. I posted one today that says, "The most terrifying thing is to accept oneself completely."
Is that it? Is it in there or is there more?
Mondays, am I right?
Yeah.
By Carl Jung.
I'll wait till you hear mine. You're going to hate it.
Okay, great.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
"Keep your spirit light, your booty tight, and your goals in sight."
Where do you get that merch made?
Yeah.
Your booty tight. That does not apply to you and me.
No, I know.
That's not a fly.
Mine can't be any tighter.
What do you think of that, Julie?
I want the bumper sticker. I've already... Yeah. I feel like, or a t-shirt, maybe a t-shirt to like rock around.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure.
I love that somebody posted this. Like they saw it and they went, "Yeah, I'm going to put this up."
Mm-hmm. Keep your goals in sight.
I feel like these rules, I think like your spirit light, your booty tight, and your goals in sight. That's it. What if that just saved somebody's life?
Yeah. They saw it and they're like, okay.
Holy shit, I never put it. Now that you put it that way.
I feel like that just wraps up everything in life, right?
Yeah, totally.
It really does. I mean, I don't feel any better for hearing it. I do like the start of it. Like, keep your spirit light. Like, hey, come on, let's all Namaste. Let's breathe. Let's enjoy the day. Keep it light. Booty, try to keep it tight. And don't forget where your goals are.
Keep them inside.
Keep them inside. Do you have any, Julie?
Of bad quotes or?
Or whatever. What things that might be maybe inspiring.
No, we want them to be good.
Good. Yeah, okay. Inspiring. Yeah. I like when you get ruled paper right the other way. That's always one of my favorite ones. Like, it's basically like, you know, don't write in the lines, don't color in the lines, find your own path type of thing.
I enjoy that. Think outside the box kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that one.
So many times we're like, we should do this or we should do that because that's like what you're told. And it's always like, is that actually what you want to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Kane, like you should have a podcast and then maybe you shouldn't.
Lest we forget, you asked me. Okay.
I did.
You asked me to do this.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Sitting in my couch or my apartment, minding my own business. I got a text message from my friend. Let's do a show. And I said, yay, dickhead.
I did find one quote that I was like, this is the worst that I've seen, I think. So sometimes your worst self is your best self. How is that ever? Like, I think it can get there. Like sometimes if you go through bad things, but I feel like that's just justifying all sorts of bad behavior.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people that would argue that my worst self was not my best self.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody wants, I have an entire family full of people that.
Yeah.
I would go that most people's worst self is not their best self. Like everyone's going to have bad qualities that aren't ideal, but it's not going to be your best qualities.
Except for Loki.
Loki?
Yeah.
What about Loki? How did
Loki's worst self is his best self.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I thought you were talking about the show. I didn't know you meant the character. Yeah. Loki's worst self is his best self. You're right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I think that applies to every Bachelor and Bachelorette contestant. All of their worst selves go on that show. And then
are entertaining.
Yes, very entertaining.
Yeah. So we like it when they're bad because it gives us something to make fun of and to feel better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Feel a lot better. Like, hey, at least I'm not like that.
That's when your worst self is your best self. When at the expense of others' entertainment.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I wanted to share this update with you guys. A couple episodes ago, we had a listener write in. She's dating a guy that recently got out of a long-term relationship, like with someone for like a decade. And then a few months afterwards, they started dating and he had a bunch of pictures of his ex pop up and she wanted him to delete it. And he was unwilling at the moment. And then he eventually like did delete them, I believe. And then she sent an update. And then it says, hey, he felt really bad about it and spent a whole day deleting the ones of them together and putting all the ones of her on a cloud file, which he will share with her and give her a week to do what she wants with them before deleting them. I think he was being lazy and had not really considered how it may make me feel having them all on his phone. I don't think, therefore, he was being a fucker. And he was really worried and felt bad when he made me feel negative about it. Thanks.
You know, I heard this on your podcast, and I have a lot of thoughts about it.
You do?
Well, let's hear it.
I do. Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you all said, that he's clearly just not in the right place to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that he should have to delete his photos. Like, he shouldn't be, like, looking at them every day, like, Googling them. But I think it's a memory of your life. I would not be okay if someone asked me to delete my photos of my exes. That doesn't mean I'm caught up in them or thinking about them. But I think it's just it feels unfair to me, I guess, to expect that of someone, because if it's truly not in the way, then it shouldn't be a problem. If there's other reasons why it's in the way, that probably has nothing to do with the photos. And that means that he's just not ready to be dating for many other reasons, photos aside or not.
I think that's pretty fair. I think you're right. I think if you're at the point where you have to ask yourself, what are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you so afraid of that he can't have those pictures? I mean, I have pictures, I mean, in boxes of exes or things that I did that involved an ex, or, you know, like that are bigger memories or events that we were at or that kind of thing. Not a lot. And I don't go, like, I just threw away a bunch of old letters from high school and stuff like that, just because I didn't need it anymore.
Right.
I didn't need to carry it around with me. It's just too much stuff.
Like if you walked into their house and they had like frames of their ex everywhere, I think that's a very different thing. That would be a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he painted those photos and then hung the painting next to the photo.
Like a shrine in his living room. Yeah. No big deal.
And he's got candle wax figures of his ex burning next to like an effigy or whatever. Yeah, that would be a little harsh. I feel like there's a lot of ego involved in, if he's not commemorating them in some big way, I think it's not a big deal. So you're both right. Like the idea of like it popping up on his phone, like he has like no control over it, like a memory. Every once in a while, he'll say, hey, you want to check out this memory? And then it's there she is. And you're just like, delete it. I don't want to see it. It's like, well, you know, I mean, it's just a picture.
I wonder how often somebody is offered a memory and it's just a dick pic.
Yeah.
Remember this
shameful.
Remember when you took your dick out and took this picture? What was your
I guess what types of pics were popping up? Maybe there's some more to the story that we're not aware of.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, look how somber my dick looks. I was somber that day.
Real somber. I was not into this.
So I have a question for you both that's related to dick pics. Like one of my friends got a dick pic once on Thanksgiving. Like, you know, she, which is already the best, right? Like, it's like, this guy was like with his family at dinner. She gets a dick pic. He's in the bathroom and it has a ruler next to it. Do you think that he already had it stored in his phone and he was just like, I'm going to send it? Or do you think he went in on Thanksgiving and took the photo real time?
Well,
I'm so concerned about the ruler.
I hung up on the ruler as well.
Like, where did he, like, if he took it on Thanksgiving, where did he get the
ruler?
Did he have the ruler?
He's like, Mom, I need to just like get, do you have a ruler? Don't ask why. Don't tell me.
Also, who's asking for a fucking, I really need to know exactly how big your dick is. Because photos can lie. You can take it from a certain angle.
I need to know how big it is. Now go around the room. I know you're at Thanksgiving dinner and there's children there and I know they have rulers.
Are you doing it from the balls or from the base?
Yeah, because if you're doing it from the base, it's a lot shorter. If you're doing it from the balls, then you got some work ahead of you.
I think this guy was an optimizer. He's probably...
Yeah. I mean, he probably went taint out. And so and that's even more disturbing. Because what adult person has a ruler? Does anyone here in this current episode have a ruler?
No. I don't have a ruler.
Who has a fucking ruler?
No,
this guy, for this purpose alone.
Yeah.
I don't have measuring tape.
Nope.
Measuring tape would be almost more aggressive, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, because you have to take that out. Then you got to click the thing. Then you got to make sure that it doesn't like flop down on you. So you got to like try and whip that thing back in. And you're doing that both times. And you got to get your phone set up with a timer. You got to set the timer, click. Oh, God, I hope it all works out.
So I got one like way back in the day. I think I was on Tinder, one of the dating apps, and we were chatting. He was telling me about like how he liked to cook and, you know, it was a really nice conversation. And then all of a sudden it was this. And the best part was the dick was not the same race as the photos of the people, the guy talking. I'm like, either your lighting is different or you found some dick on the internet and now that's what you're sending. It was so utterly confusing.
I just thought you liked dicks. I didn't know you liked mine. What I thought was a great picture of a dick and sent it to you. They don't necessarily happen to yours.
It's like your skin tone is like 10 times darker in this photo than the other photo. Dick. It was very strange.
No. That's my friend. No, that's my friend Arthur. That's Arthur's dick.
Just trying to get a gauge before we keep this conversation going.
Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe you'd like his dick better. I like it better.
Wow. What a weird thing to get. What a weird thing to do. What a weird... Dick pics in general are bizarre. Mm-hmm. I sent my first one out very recently to the girl I'm seeing now. I hated doing it. It was not fun. It took a lot longer than I thought. It took so much longer than I thought it would take. And then I sent it, and apparently my angle was weird, and she made fun of me a bunch of times.
Oh, my God. I'll have to send it to you after, but we made, like, a spoof video about dick pics, like, about how the reason why girls don't like them is because they're boring. And if there was an app that would basically give you, like, a filter for your dick pic, that would solve all your problems. So we called it the Dickerator. This was our spoof video. It is not real. It does not exist.
I love the idea.
I wonder how many people use, like, in the Apple phone, it's got the thing that makes stuff all sparkly. I wonder how many people use that.
Yeah, we had, like, a sombrero on them. Like, different, you know, give it little character. Show your personality.
I wish I'd sent a pic. If I had been single, I would. The first and only dick pic I would have sent is of it vomiting a rainbow.
Oh.
And, like, anime sparkle eyes on top of it.
Yeah. That, and vomiting a rainbow.
Greg, that would have called for maybe concern if the ex found that photo.
Yeah.
That's what's on the shrine. The rainbow sparkling.
Oh my good Lord in heaven. You listened to the Jared Freed episode, Julie, and you heard him talking shit about my silent date idea.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Since you're abreast, what do you think of the silent date? Do you also hate it?
Yeah, I hate it.
Fucking God damn it.
I agreed with everything he said of, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just... I guess, okay, let me clarify. What date number is this? Because if it's date number one, I hate it. If it's date number, like, 5+, maybe I'd find it entertaining.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Okay.
Like, in the middle, where you're like, we've been doing enough of the regular kind of dating. Let's do something kind of kooky and weird. And that was my idea.
I mean, I think that does change things, that it's later on. If it was the first date, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, that would be a definite no.
Yeah, you gotta talk. I'm a chatterbox. I can't stop talking sometimes, but...
I think it could be entertaining. I remember, like, in college, I got, like, super high with one of my friends, and we, like, did a whole walk home, and we just couldn't talk to each other. Like, that was, like, our thing. And it was entertaining, and I remember it all these years later. So maybe... It could be a good memory. I'm like 50-50 on it. I was like 100% if it's the first date.
Who's coming with me, man? Who's coming with me?
Have you tried this date before?
No, I don't know. I don't think it's going to come off the ground. Because, like I said last Jared's episode, the girl I'm seeing, like, initially said she liked it, but that was because we were, like, courting or whatever and flirting. So it's like,
now
truth
comes out.
Yeah, what is she going to, we're trying to get to know each other, and she's... What is she gonna be like? No, fucking boo. You suck. What a dumb idea.
That's like a couple months in, and that stuff comes out.
But yeah, but me and her can't stop talking. And in fact, like, I met her friends and she got a little drunk and we were in the car, and I was just kind of, like, tired and wasn't really saying anything. And she's like, what are you thinking about? And I was like, nothing. And then, like, 30 seconds went by and she was like, What's on your mind? I'm like, I'm not getting nothing. And I'm like, oh, the silent date would not work. It's absolutely not going to happen.
I was like, is that a preview to the silent date? Were you just trying to, like, suss out if she'd be into it or not?
Yeah. I just was tired and had nothing left to say. Like, you know, when you meet a bunch of people, you're just like, oh, I've talked so much. I think I'm done talking for the rest of the day. And she was drunk. So she was drunk, and it was, like, her first time being drunk around me, and I don't drink. Mm. And we're, like, going back to her place. And I think she was just checking in, making sure, like I was cool with the entire thing. And I, you know, like, Greg and I feel where it's like, you know, you don't have to check in with us. Like, we know how to be around drunks. You don't have to check in with us. And a lot of people who are drunk kind of will sometimes feel uncomfortable around us since we're not.
You just called her a drunk. You just called her a drunk. You said she was drunk and is a drunk.
Yeah.
We know how to behave around drunks, so you just called her a drunk.
Is a drunk versus holy was shit. Drunk is two different statements.
Exactly.
Not like, not like as a title of her personality. It's just what she was at the time.
Yes, exactly. The was drunk is a fact. Is a drunk is a personality.
Was. I'm saying was. Was drunk. Not a. Okay. We got a Reddit remix. Reddit remix. My wife send pictures/videos of our bedroom activities to her sister. Throwaway account for obvious reasons. Me and my wife have been together for 11 years, married for 4, and have 2 children. We have the usual fight now and then, but overall, we try and maintain a healthy relationship. Her sister has been married for about 12 years with 2 children. She lives in a different town and we all get along fine. About a month ago, I noticed my wife taking pictures and videos now and then of us in our private time. Why is he so coy if it's a throwaway? You guys were fucking, Jesus Christ. What are you, cooking meth? God damn it. I didn't pay much attention to this as she says she likes looking at these pictures and videos when I travel for work, which is in IT. Yesterday, I was setting up backups for our photos, videos, etc. for our phones and PCs when I noticed there were duplications of the pictures and videos she took. After checking out why, I realized the pictures and videos were shared on WhatsApp. When sending media, the original picture/video will stay in your gallery and WhatsApp makes a copy of the picture/video and stores it in WhatsApp images/sent. Tracking this back, I found out these were all shared with her sister. My wife and her sister are very close, and looking at the messages, it seems her sister's sex life had become very stale. And she reached out to my wife for support and how to spice up their sex life. After back and forth communication over a few days, her sister wanted to see how my wife does these sexual actions. My wife initially declined, but after a lot of begging, she relented. Her sister now uses the pictures and video as masturbation material. Oh my God.
Oh. I didn't think it could get worse than
it did. God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I have never been in a situation like this and have no idea what to do. Should I even bring this up or sweep it under the rug? Me and my wife do communicate pretty good, but I didn't even know how to start this conversation.
He 100% needs to bring this up. Like, what?
My wife hasn't sent anything to her sister for about 2 weeks, and she messaged her sister to say, "We will not send more." Oh my God.
That is horrifying, everything about it.
Oh, I hate all of those people.
Why would you ever do that? Like, there's so many resources on the internet to help you with your sex life. Why would you even want to see your sibling?
Yeah, you can find the kinkiest shit online for free.
Can't find your sister, though.
No, you can't.
Or her husband.
Maybe that's your thing.
Sure. Maybe it's a secret fetish she has.
Yeah, I'm confused because it's like her sex life is stale. So she's like, "Hey, can you give me some tips and tricks?" That's one thing. Like, you could do that if you're close enough with your sibling. I wouldn't.
Explain this fucking that you're doing. I don't know what that is. Can you show me fucking?
Sure, sure.
Can you send me a video of fucking? Because when you explain it, I don't really get it.
Okay.
So I'd love to see if you had a video of fucking.
Okay. You fucking with your husband.
Yeah.
Well, that seems a little off. What I could do is send you links to porn sites. Would you like that instead?
No. I don't want to see strangers fucking that I don't know. What? I'd be more comfortable seeing somebody I know fucking.
Okay. How about this then? How about this? I'll ask my friend Elizabeth if she and her husband can take video and I can send you that. How about that?
I don't know them. The thing is... It would really work for me if I knew somebody in the video.
If they were blood relatives only, right?
It would really help.
I don't think John's going to be okay with this, so...
Don't tell John.
What?
But just take the videos and send them. John doesn't have to... John's not even on WhatsApp.
But we communicate good. So I think maybe I don't know. I'll think about it and I'll get back to you. How about that?
That sounds great.
Okay, great. You're not going to like masturbate to these, are you?
Yes.
What?
Oh, yes, of course I am.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
I mean, as the husband, I would be so mad if someone was doing this. So bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
He nightmare. Doesn't seem that pissed. He just seems confused.
Yeah. That's
what is there to be confused about?
I mean, yeah, like, why do it? I feel like, okay, but how does he approach it? Let's say he's asking us, how does he approach going up to his wife and go, hey, what's up, app? And why'd you do this?
I think he can say exactly what he wrote in. Like, hey, I noticed that it copied photos over and I'm wondering why, you know, like, what's going on? And just let her talk and see what she says. Like, turn the floor over to her. She's got the explaining to do.
That's true. He's sitting on moral high ground right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's equally into this fetish too. That's my sixth sense.
She's got to be. She liked it too much. She sent too many.
Mm-hmm.
She sent more than one.
And there's like a secrecy that she's hiding it that she's probably getting off on too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 Yep.
Oh, just the idea of seeing a sibling naked is just what?
Horrible.
Yeah.
My sister thinks it's funny to gross me out. So she'll start a sex story about just to see me go, shut, please stop talking. And then she'll do it until I leave the room.
Anytime I feel like I get a little too personal on our podcast, because my brother will listen time to time, he's like, I had to shut it off. I'm sorry. That's where I drew the line.
Yeah, turn it off.
That's not even seeing. That's just hearing. Yes.
Yeah, because you can then go, oh, I know what she looks like. No.
You just don't. I know my brother and his wife had a baby, but I just don't want to think about how it's a stork. The stork brought it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that was disgusting.
I was thoroughly grossed out for the rest of the day. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. We all learned a lot. We all learned a lot. I feel. Do you guys feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
I mean, we've done some fetish episodes on our podcast, but none have come close to this. I feel like we did a diaper fetish, still didn't come close.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of your show, where can people check out Dateable?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the podcast players, Apple, Spotify, you name it, or just go to datablepodcast.com.
And check out, if you haven't already, check out the episode we did with UA Shu. If you want to get a hold of our show at dtbffpodcast@gmail.com, go to dtbffpodcast on Instagram. You can support the show. Go to patreon.com/dtbff. Hit up our Redbubble for all of our DTBFF merch. And you can also get Always Be Blocking, pillows, sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. Notebooks to write down the fuckers and the bullshit that you might be taking. And you can call in the show. What is that phone number, Pat?
That number is 323-379-5544.
Don't take bullshit from fuckers.
Fuck them.
Hey there. If you like the show, you can find bonus episodes and more at our Patreon at patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. And then rate the show 5 stars on iTunes because it's the right thing to do. All music by the Reigning Monarchs, produced by Patrick Kelly.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DatablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDatable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Y series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.